And so, with the cup held high, me the leave Croke Park, All-Ireland football champions for 1949.
Oh, beautiful me, you got all that I need.
Dempsey hits Darren Fay. Anthony Finnerty comes in and gives him a touch of the elbow. Colm Coyle hitting Finnerty. This is Colm's first punt. Finnerty, delayed reaction, looks around, sees Martin O'Connell coming in and thinks that the best action is to go down.
What a set of matches we've had. Four terrific and memorable games. Final score, Meath 2-10, Dublin 15.
So Joe McDonagh, GAA president, presents Sam Maguire to Graham Geraghty and Meath are the football champions.
Hello, listeners. You're very welcome to another edition of the We Are Meath podcast with Davey Rispin and Mickey Brennan. And I suppose two cocky fuckers today on the podcast, Davey, aren't we? It's Sunday evening. We both have just played in our respective junior quarterfinals on Sunday afternoon. We both won and we're in jovial humour. And we're taking it in our stride. We're not going out on the beer. You know, we're coming home. And we're doing our podcast because, you know, the people need to hear what's happening around all the different GAA circles in Meath. And that's the dedication that we have, is that get the job done today. Quarterfinals over and done with. Both of us through the semi-finals. Now, back to the real work.
Isn't it lovely that in the middle of September, we're sitting here on a Sunday evening, fresh as daisies, and not involved in any sort of scandal from the Saturday night previous, you know? And that shows the fact that we're still in the championship. There is a lot of club players out there who are probably envious of us, Mickey. But yeah, brilliant weekend for Carlton, and obviously a great weekend as well for Drumalee. So yeah, roll on the semi-finals.
Yeah, absolutely. Now you said it, and we'll be coming to that in a couple of moments. I mean, I suppose the best thing to do, Davey, is get started with the results. We're going to go to some of the football results because there was two, as we said, quarterfinals played this weekend in the Junior B Championship. The quarterfinals from the Junior A will be played on Tuesday night. We will review those games on Tuesday night and we'll put them into a podcast later in the week because that's what we do. We record podcasts every bloody night of the week. So we will be reviewing them and previewing the semi-finals and all that kind of crack. But we're going to go to the two games that were played. Of course, on Saturday, it was Slane taking on St. Mary's in the Battle of the Boyne, and Slane came out on top in this one, winning on a scoreline of 4-16 to 2 points. And Davey, Slane, again, just, you know, showing their teeth and showing what they're made of this year. They've been phenomenal, in fairness.
They have, yeah. This was a really impressive performance from them as well, Mickey. Like, against their neighbours, they completely dominated from start to finish, got a great start. Kicked on. I was disappointed with Mary's. They didn't really show up, and a few mistakes really cost them as well on the evening. But Slane were outstanding, and they even rested Podge McGowan and Tyke Martin from the start. Like, this is the sort of embarrassment of riches they have in that squad. One small issue for them to arise from the game: they obviously play Kilmaine and Wood in the semi-final coming on Friday night coming. They lost Matthew Tully to a straight red card for a needless sort of sending off in the second half, and he's going to miss the semi-final against Kilmaine and Wood next Friday night, which is a big blow for them. I know they've got a really deep squad, but a player like that takes a little bit of replacement. So that'll be a concern for Des Teeling, but otherwise, very impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. And you do want to have your full strength squad going into semi-finals especially, and Matthew Tully will be sitting that one out. I'm sure, is there any grounds for an appeal?
I didn't think so. I think it was a bit of a kick out, and he knew himself. He's not that type of player, but he knew himself as soon as he picked up the red card, and his frustration really was clear to see. So I would be surprised if Slane appealed it, to be honest.
And he's been one of the main players for Slane this year, so that's a disappointment for them. Obviously, like, they've got an embarrassment of riches, but Matty has been really excelling. And then, of course, as we said already, on Sunday afternoon, it was the turn of Cortin to take on Boards Mill. Davey, it was seven locked at halftime, 7 points to 2 goals and a point. Cortin put in a massive second half display and won this one by 8, 2-13 to Boards Mills, 2-5. You were at this one for us.
I was Al. Yeah. I think that's my role nowadays. I actually think I was the problem all along, to be honest. The lads were very good again. It was a really poor first half performance from us and a really bad start. They got a goal in the first minute, a real defensive lapse, and Stevie Gibbons chips our goalkeeper. And it was an awful start to the game from our perspective. And they got another shite goal through Danny Dixon, like towards the end of the first half. We were much the better team from start to finish, but it took us a long time to kind of get on top. But when we did, probably midway through the second half, we kind of stormed clear. Boardsmen obviously were missing a few lads, which they've been missing for a number of weeks now. But it was a scrappy affair in difficult conditions over in Appy. But we're delighted to obviously get into the semi-final second consecutive year. And continue the progress. It's been a really good year for us. You know, league final, now a championship semi-final. We've blooded a lot of young players in that, and we're progressing with every game. So we're very happy to be in a semi-final again.
Yeah, and you set up a nice little Normandy derby there with Mainalty, and that'll be played later this week. As we said, we will be previewing that on our Loyal Royals podcast. It's patreon.com/ We Are Meath. We'll be doing previews of the senior championship semi-finals and the relegation games, the intermediate semi-finals and relegation games. And of course, lots happening in Junior A and Junior B midweek and on the weekend. So we've a lot of previews going on in the Junior A and Junior B across the whole week. So do stay tuned to that. And it's only the price of a pint. It's actually less than the price of a pint.
Less now,
pints are gone up. Inflation. Yeah,
we don't put our prices up, do we, Mickey? We keep ours the same.
No, we keep our prices the same. We're not getting into that whole banking sector and trying to push up the prices of everything and the whole lot. And we're doing our bit to make sure that we don't go into recession, that's for sure. €5 will get you all the extra podcasts from the We Are Mead lads. That's me and Davey. That's the lads, I suppose. And did I say Davey or Damien? Well, I meant Davey if I did say
you usually anyway. Call me Damien, though. You do.
Do I? Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, look, I have two lovers, let's just say. Anyway, time to move on, Davey. We're going to go straight into club hurling results from the weekend. And I think you might be able to help me out with that because you are the small ball expert on this podcast.
Yeah, there was a few terrific encounters over the weekend in the Meath Hurling Championship, starting in the senior Hurling Championship, the Ted Murtagh Clodden Footwear Senior Hurling Championship, where quarterfinals were down for decision on Saturday and Sunday. First up on Saturday in Park Tolton, Kiltale defeated Kilmessan by 6 points. It finished Kiltale 19 points, Kilmessan 13 points. A gallant effort from Kilmessan, who finished second in Group B, but Kiltale showing their class and pulling through in the end, 6 point winners. In the other quarterfinal, which took place on Sunday, also in Park Tolton, Ratoath emerged victorious against Blackhall Gales. Ratoath 3-20. Blackhall Gales 3-9, so an 11-point win for Ratoath. Not as comfortable. It was comfortable, but Blackhall Gales rallied brilliantly in the second half. They were 3-11 to 2 points down, I think, at halftime, and managed to hit 3 goals and 7 points in the second half. A good effort from the Group B winners, but their slow start in the first half left them with way too much to do. Goals in the run-up to halftime from Gavin McGowan and Paul Johanran really set Ratoath clear, and they progressed through to the semi-final. So that leaves us with Ratoath, Kiltale, Kildare and Trim, the four teams, if you like, from Group A. They're going to contest the semi-finals in a couple of weeks' time. Moving on into the Intermediate Hurling Championship, this is the JM Food Services Intermediate Hurling Championship. And on Saturday in Park Tolton, Dunamore Ashburn had an historic victory against Rathmullyn. After extra time, Mickey, it finished Dunamore Ashburn 2-20, Rathmullyn 1-21. So a 2-point win for Dunamore Ashburn. They're a hurling club with a football problem. That's the way they're going to be described nowadays. But it was funny, Andy Tormey mentioned it on the review podcast last week about the club that's going on there. He's playing himself, but you know, Colm O'Maiload, who's a good friend of the podcast, and that, you know, he deserves credit. He's still playing himself, but he's done a great job in promoting hurling in the club. And yeah, look, hats off to them. That's a massive win against one of the pre-championship favourites in Rathmullyn, who'll be sick. And in the other one, played on Sunday, this was a terrific high-scoring encounter between Kilscare Moyla and Drumree. Kilscare Moyla, who are going on all fronts, they're going to be probably playing maybe potentially 3 games in 7 days between football and hurling. This was the start of it. And they were pushed all the way, but came out victorious against Drumree. 121 to 3 goals and 10, so 24 points to 19. They're obviously playing football now on Tuesday night, Junior A quarterfinal against Sidon, and potentially if they win that, they'll be out again Sunday. So 3 massive championship games in 7 days for them if everything goes to plan. But hats off to them, Kilskerra Moyle, a massive, massive win in that game. Moving on to the K Windows and Doors Junior Hurling Championship knockout stages on Sunday. Kildare booked their place in the final, in the beating Killeen in the semi-final by 19 points to 1-7. And that sets up, I think, a repeat of last year's Junior 2 final between themselves and St. Pat's. So Kildare are absolutely flying on all fronts. The only issue here, Mickey, I can think of is they've got teams in Senior Intermediate and Junior A. If they win the Junior Championships, unfortunately, this team won't be able to progress through to the Intermediate because they've got a team in the Intermediate already. And likewise, if their Intermediate team were to but it's a not really nice problem to have. That's a club who are absolutely flying on all fronts. And finally, Mickey, in the K Windows and Doors Junior Hurling Championship 2 on Saturday in Athboy, Kilskerra Moyle capped off a great weekend for them, made it a double on the card. They defeated Navan O'Matney's by 3 goals and 10 points to 15 points, so a 4-point win in that. And in the other game played on Sunday in Father Plunkett Memorial Park, also semi-final action, Clannagale booked their spot in the decider, beating local neighbours Trim by 1-17 to 1-8.
Just back on Rathmullyne, Davey, didn't something similar happen to them last year? Was it the semi-final they were beaten by Dundry, was it?
Yeah, it was. Was it the semi-final or final? Well, I think it was
They're
an early team, and I think Gary Cole was back managing them this year. I thought they had a lot of things, you know, in order and stuff. They'll be really sickened about that. But you have to tip your cap to Dunham and Ashburn and the work that's been done. We've seen them contesting the minor final last year, and although they were beaten, the young players that have been brought through to the adult level this year, it's reaping the rewards, and great to see.
Yeah, it really is. And yet we still have a soft spot for Rathmullyne. Like, they're probably the original hurling club in Meath, or one of the original hurling clubs in Meath, and unbelievable facilities over there as well. Anyway, that is the hurling fixture, or the results looked at from last weekend.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer, on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Davey, bringing it back to the football end of things, last weekend, well, the weekend depends when you're listening to this, but last week, I suppose, we announced our Kiko Sports Team of the Week for round 5 of the junior A and B, and of course the senior and intermediate quarterfinals in the championship. Another, I suppose, really, really difficult week. It's the cream rising to the top at the moment, and players are really starting, and you can see, you know, that the young, what I've loved about it in the last couple of weeks is that the young players that we've talked about that played, we'll say, county under 17s, county under 20s and whatever over the last number of years, and we've been waxing lyrical about them, they're starting to stand up. And even the ones that are still under 20, standing up and making a name for themselves at such a tender age and doing it when the pressure is on in the heat of battle of quarterfinals of the championship and even in the relegation games as well for some of the teams. Brilliant to see these young players standing out.
100%. And that's something that I mentioned to George Plunkett in the interviews, which we're going to hear in a couple of moments' time with the player of the week and top scorer of the week. And he referenced that too. It's absolutely brilliant to see and hugely encouraging for obviously Colin O'Rourke and for all the Meath fans out there that we're seeing, I suppose, county underage talents going on and doing great things with our club now. And that's reflective in our Kiko Sports Team of the Year or Team of the Week. It will be reflective, I'm sure, in the Team of the Year when we do that as well. But yeah, great to see and bodes well for the future for sure.
Absolutely. Great time to as well just remind our listeners that we will be doing a Kiko Sports Team of the Year, similar to the one that we did last year, where there'll be nominations for each position, 1 to 15. And on the night, we will be announcing the Kiko Sports Team of the Year. Do stay tuned to all our social media challenges. It was an absolutely amazing night last year down in Kells, and we're hoping for it to be as big, if not big, better this year. But anyway, taking it back to the Kiko Sports Team of the Week for last week, we're going to announce the team, and then we are going to tell you who the Blackwater Inn top scorer of the week and the Blackwater Inn player of the week were too. So in goals was Barry Farley from Gaelcullen Kill, hitting 1-4 in their massive victory over Dunboyne in the relegation battle. Conor Shepherd from Wolf Tones, he got in at number two. He kicked a point against Simonstown in that quarterfinal. David McQuillan from St. Pat's was our fullback, and our completing our full back line was Anthony Barker from Kilbride. He got on the score sheet as well with a goal. Our half back line, look at this for a half back line. We're talking about youth. Adam McDonald from Summerhill, 2 points. Darrow O'Halloran from Cortown, a point. And Ronan McMahon from Minalty completed our half back line. Our midfield pairing was Alan Bowden, another young man with a huge future ahead of him. He kicked 2 points for Leek Bellistown. And Lorcan McGuire from Ballinlough. He's the exception to the rule so far, I would say. He's a more.
So is Darrow O'Halloran, by the way.
Well, Darrow O'Halloran is right. Yeah. Sorry, I forgot about Darrow.
And David McQuillan. We have one in each line.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, you need the experience in each line. Then on to the half forward line. Leo Riley from Dunamore Ashburn with 4 points in their victory over St. Colum Kills. Owen Frayne from Summerhill with 1-6. A brilliant return from the young man. And Max McKenna from Rakenny with 4 points in their quarterfinal victory. The full forward line, a couple of, I suppose, household names now at this stage. And what would you say? Lads that are part of the furniture when it comes to the Kiko Sports Team of the Week over the last couple of years. Pierre Fox, I don't know if you know this guy, from Dunsany, he kicked 10 points in their game in their loss. He was still outstanding. Matty Costello from Dunshockland against Rathoath. Absolutely incredible performance from Matty Costello. Was unlucky to come out on the wrong side of the result, but he kicked 1-2. And Tara Rowe from Sidon with 3 goals and 8. Our top scorer of the week was, of course, the Blackwater Inn top scorer of the week was, of course, Darrell Rowe from Sidon, kicking 3-8 against St. Dalton's. And our Blackwater Inn player of the week was Adam McDonald from Summerhill. Davey, before we go to the interviews from the two lads, you know, you have something to, I suppose, disclose to the podcast. You thought Darrell Rowe was a little bit older than he was. And I actually thought he was older than he is, and there's still so much football ahead of him, and yet it feels like he's been playing football forever in Meath club circles.
It does. It feels like he's been injured forever as well.
Yeah.
He's had a great run at this year, and like, touch wood, that continues. But yeah, I think a few of the lads who listened from Sidon were on to him and saying, geez, you better let that lad know that you're not the same age as him, basically. So Dara's only 26. So, you know, I was thinking he was 28, the same age as myself. But that's actually, it's good because I feel the extra 2 years might just, you know, potentially, Davey, give him an opportunity. Yeah.
You're 28.
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
When did that happen? You were only a little babble when you started the podcast with me.
I know.
How did you get to 28?
Look at what it's done to me.
Look at what it's done to me.
All them late Sunday nights. But yeah, look, he's only 26. He's playing exceptional football again, and he's injury free. So, you know, if he continues and please God, has a good regional championship as well, I would see absolutely no reason why Colm mightn't have a look at him, you know, come the new season. He's got a great temperament and he's a terrific, wonderful footballer. And scorers, as you know, Mickey, in Gaelic football are the hardest commodity to come by, and he's a serial scorer. So, yeah, fingers crossed for him.
You mentioned the regional championship there. You know, what a brilliant, brilliant competition that was last year, and what a brilliant way for Colm to unearth players and to see players playing at a higher standard. And I would have loved to have seen Darragh Rowe playing last year. Wasn't it his elbow or his wrist he broke? And he didn't even know he broke it.
Did he not know, and then played on regardless, and then obviously got the cast on? Because I remember the night we had, obviously, for the team of the year, where he picked up the number 11 jersey, which he's defending this year as well, it has to be said. He had the cast on that night, which was kind of in the middle of the regional championship, if you remember back. So, yeah, he was unlucky and unfortunate in that respect last year. Let's just hope he can get a clean run at the remainder of the year with Sidon, because they obviously have still business to attend to. And then, obviously, the regional championship, which will kick in straight after the club championship.
Yeah, well, that was the Kiko Sports Team of the Week. Davey, we caught up with Adam McDonald, our Blackwater Inn Player of the Week, and, of course, Darragh Rowe, the top scorer of the Blackwater Inn, top scorer of the week, over with George Plunkett in Blackwater Inn last weekend. And we're going to have a listen to the interviews he caught with the two boys just now.
Delighted to be joined by the Blackwater Inn top scorer of the week, Mr. Darragh Rowe from Sidon. Darragh, you're in for the annual collection of the award. Obviously, some exploits last weekend. The win was the all-important thing, but 3-8 to your name is a nice little tally. I know you wouldn't be a stranger to it, but it was key in the end.
Yeah, look, it was mad enough the way the group worked out that we just had to go into the last group game, not knowing what was going to happen. We just had to go out and worry about ourselves and just beat what was ahead of us, and that was Ultons, and we just focused on their task in hand. And yeah, lucky enough, just clipped in with a few scores. The defenders in the club have been giving me a bit of stick. They want a bit of credit these days, so they reckon I should cheer around the award. So that's a shout out to them, maybe, but I don't know what I'm shouting out for. But yeah, look.
Tell us about the campaign, because it's been a bit up and down, to probably say the very least, but you've kind of come good, and maybe are coming good at just the right time. How would you summarise it so far? Probably the good, the bad and the ugly, maybe, to summarise it.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Oh, look, the league, we had a slow start in the league, but then we started getting results, and then I suppose there was a bit of a break then, and sure. We're back in championship football then, and oh look, yeah, some results went our way, some didn't. Like, as I said, it was strange, our junior championship, like even our group just alone. Teams are winning against some teams, and they're losing against other teams. Like, it was up and down almost, and then just lucky we got out in the end, in the last day. Like, it all came down the last day, and it was the same last year, I think, as well. And we just got the luck of the draw this year.
Must have been a nervous wait, obviously, getting the win, doing your own part of it, but waiting on results elsewhere, and obviously Kilroy getting a huge win against Dunsany, you know, sort of helped in no small part as well.
Yeah, it did, yeah. It was very strange. Like, I think that happened years ago. Some of the older boys were able to tell us, like, it happened maybe in 07, I think, in Simonsen, possibly. Maybe I had the year wrong, but around that time, anyway. And it didn't go away that day, but then the other day, we got our results, and then the Kilbride Dunsany game was still going on, and we were just waiting around for a result. And there was actually a man, and we were getting most of our updates from a man in Singapore. Right. He had contacts, and he was telling people on their sideline, and then they were telling the fans, and yeah, if we were all in the middle of the pitch. It was like 2012 Man United as well. Remember the Stadium of Light?
Yeah, Man City,
they were waiting for a result, and didn't go their way, but went our way the other day.
It's horrendous. I've actually been on the receiving end of it now a few years ago, and it's not nice. Looking ahead, though, it's a pretty big week, obviously. You've got a quarterfinal to look forward to on Tuesday night, I think, and then potentially a semi-final that weekend. It's unusual to have two big games or two games of that magnitude in such a short space of time, but I'd imagine the sole focus at the moment is on Tuesday night and a huge showdown with Ballinlock.
Yeah, it is strange. It's short turnaround, like playing summer football there, and I was under lights of Minaldi straight away here now, so... Yeah, look, we just have to worry about Minaldi. We're not worried about anything else. Worry about the game of Minaldi against Ballinlock. So we just take it one game at a time and prepare for that, and hopefully get over the line against Ballinlock. But it'll be a tough game, obviously. Like, yeah, they're a good team. So we'll just focus on that game first.
Is there an element of not bonus territory now, but maybe the pressure's off to an extent because you went into last weekend, maybe, okay, knowing that you might get the win yourself, but probably not nearly expecting to progress to a quarter final. now that maybe shackles can come off and we can probably see a little bit more freedom in it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're thinking there last week, like, you're thinking worst case scenario, you could be playing relegation in a couple of weeks, and yeah, that was in our head almost. Like, we were just hoping for a bit of luck. We got our luck, and now, as you said, bonus territory. This is where we want to be at the start of the year. We want to be at the start of the year here in the knockout stage, just playing football in September. And yeah, so we're blessed to be here, and we just keep going at this stage, yeah, hopefully.
George, you're waiting in the wings from a Bridget standpoint, but you'll recognise that obviously Sidon and indeed Ballinlock are very dangerous quantities. They go head to head in the quarter final, and the other one, obviously, Kilbride taking on
Moylan
in Corton, of course, I should know that. But two big quarter finals on Tuesday night, and obviously Bridget's will be sitting back and waiting along with Clannagale.
Yeah, sitting back, watching, waiting, hoping maybe. Probably hoping for a big melee and about 30 lads sent off. No, seriously, it's down to business end now. If it stopped now, Bridges have had a good year. You know, we've got promoted, we won the league, and we're in the semi-final automatically. But I don't think anybody wants it to stop. Hopefully they need to step it up big time on the last day. Could be a deja vu, maybe the previous year. That's what we're hoping. Previous year we didn't play at all well when we knew we were in the semi-final. But certainly our last day's performance wouldn't be good enough to get close to any of the teams that's left. But I still think there's another good performance in them, and I give them every chance.
Just a word on Ballinlock, I suppose. You've seen them the last day. I'm sure Sidon seen plenty of them as well. Any words of advice for Dara, who's kind of taken on them on Tuesday night, what to expect?
I would have saw it just happened to fall right for me. I wasn't actually, didn't set out to watch every Ballinlock game, but it was just the way they fell. It was days I was working and had a few hours off, and I actually saw all their games, and they weren't, to tell you that themselves, they weren't playing the way they're capable of playing, but they were very, very good the last day. They were really well up for it, and they were good all over. They were hungry, they were hunting in packs. Two shines up front, Harry Ryan, were excellent. So if they bring that to the table, they will take watching regardless of who they're playing.
Another man will take watching is Darragh Rowe, though, and 3-8 the last day. I'm sure Ballinlock have him earmarked a nice circle around his name come Tuesday night, but easier said than done to nullify a player of that calibre.
Yeah, 3-8 is a great score. Fair play to him, but sure, when you're good enough to play with a broken arm, like as he did last year, nothing is impossible. And of course, the Lee American, but look, at fair play to him. He's shooting the lights out a long time now, and he intends to keep going. Best of luck to him on that one.
And intends to keep his Blackwater in Team of the Year jersey maybe for another year as well.
Without a doubt.
We'll see about that.
That's it. Thank God they don't pick them.
Thanks, lads.
Thank you.
Delighted to be joined by the Blackwater Inn Player of the Week, Mr. Adam McDonald. Adam, first time in here collecting the award. Nice little personal accolade, but obviously the semi-final place was the main objective last weekend, and that was achieved in good fashion in the end against Trim.
Yeah, don't know. First half wasn't really good fashion at all, but I suppose we kind of went in at half-time and reset the whole thing, and like we kicked 9 or 10 wides in the first half, so probably wasn't the best viewing for anyone from Summerhill or even neutral people looking on, but we went in at half time, I suppose, just didn't really say too much, just kind of reset the whole thing and flicked the switch. Then first 10 minutes the game is really over, so second half performance is good, but we know we need to put an hour of football in against Ashburn. Like, they're playing very well. I mean, I've seen them against Colm Kills last night and they were impressive, so we'll have to put an Irish football in the next eight if we want to progress onto a final. So
I think from talking to Fez, he said the same, that like there was, you nearly knew at half time that there was much more in the tank, and it wasn't a case that voices needed to be raised or anything like that. It was just a realisation that you were so much better than probably what you've shown in the first half, and that inevitably things would improve in the second, and they did.
Yeah, well, they improved significantly in the second half. We felt at half time we had majority of the ball. Like, we played all the football really in the first half. It was just our composure in front of goals wasn't brilliant, now to say the least. But yeah, there was, as you said, there was no voices need to be raised. Like, it was kind of just go in, get your drink, sit down, and just kind of calm everything. And there was very few words said at halftime, actually. It was kind of more just reflecting on what we need to improve on, which was obviously just up front, because I actually thought our interplay and all was quite good. But it was just obviously our composure in front of goals let us down a little bit. But look, we're happy to be in a semi-final, which we're where we want to be, so just one more step and hopefully get back to where we were last year, but go one further. But as I said, look, we won't look over Ashburn the next day. It'll be a tough old challenge, and hopefully we can get over the line on you.
Yeah, absolutely. You had to put friendships aside for an hour and a half as well. I know you're quite pally with a number of the Trim players as well. How was that? It was probably the first time, in definitely in adult football, that you've really come up against them, definitely in championship football anyway.
Yeah, the only really care on that I'd be friendly with, but wasn't
not
friends.
Them, no.
Not particularly, no. But I just had to put the friendship aside now for the hour, and I suppose you have to do it. Every team you play against, you're always going to know one or two lads, so you're not friends with them for the hour and shake hands after the game and forget about whatever was said or happened in the game. But yeah, it was nice to quieten down the noisy neighbours for a while anyway. Get the bragging rights for a year.
Another year, exactly. What about yourself? You're clearly enjoying your football. You obviously missed a bit of time at the start of the year, which would have been frustrating, and getting yourself back right. But clearly you've kind of taken your game on a couple of steps from even what we've seen in your first year. How are you enjoying it and clearly playing lovely football and enjoying that sort of freedom to kind of push forward as well?
Look, Fez kind of lets me off there. If I want to go forward and take on a shot or two, he's no problem with it. So it makes my life a bit easier that I don't have to worry about shooting myself and getting in front of goals or anything. But I'm enjoying football. I mean, anyway, it's probably the most enjoyable football or year of football I've ever had it this year. And training's competitive. Big hitting training, like lads, we've 25 or 6 lads fighting for 15 jerseys, so it's a competitive nature in training anyway, so it's enjoyable. Alright,
I know it's probably not to the forefront of your thoughts just now, but obviously, you know, with Meath and trying to progress, I'd imagine a senior call up would be something that would be on the bucket list or possibly a target or goal for you in the near future. Those sorts of performances aren't probably going unnoticed. Again, I know you've your sole focus is winning the championship with Summerhill, but that's probably something that you're aiming and pushing towards as well.
Of course, it'd be nice, all right, yeah, but I suppose, as you said there, my sole focus now at the minute is just get over Ashburn, hopefully, and win a Keegan Cup. I think we're probably long overdue one now at this stage, so that's our main focus for the year, and whatever happens after that happens, but hopefully... Hopefully I have a nice medal in my back pocket now come the end of the year, if we can get over Ashburn the next day, so we'll see.
You're a player that needs to play with a certain level of aggression. I think it's fair to say you almost need to teeter on the edge. And how difficult, or I suppose how much of a learning curve has it been over the last couple of years to manage that in a way that you can obviously control it, but obviously get the best out of yourself as well?
I'll probably be known around the county now as a bit of a... Bit of a pup, all right, yeah, but I probably calmed down a lot more this year than I would have been last year, and even through underage, but I don't really know, just now my friends mightn't say it, but probably maturing a little bit, but on the pitch anyway, definitely not off the pitch, but on the pitch, probably maturing a little bit, but I kind of have to play with a bit of aggression, it's in my game, so sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but it's working at the minute anyway, thank God, so... Long may it last.
Is that something that Fez would encourage and try and nurture, you know, in the right possible way? I'm sure he probably would try and obviously chat you and keep things cool, but at the same time, you don't want to lose what makes you what you are, if that makes sense.
Yeah, he knows the way I play, and he knows that I like to bring a bit of aggression to my game, and he allows it to a certain stage. If it's going to boil over, he feels it's going to boil over, he'll... have a word or send someone in to just calm it down or whatever, but it's going all right now at the minute. There hasn't been no incidents this year as of yet. Hopefully not. Hopefully none either. So,
We'll bring in George of the Blackwater Inn. George, great to have another young player in. It's probably bodes well. We've had plenty of them in this season. Adam McDonald, the latest from Summerhill. man playing with exceptional confidence at the moment.
Absolutely, Adam walked in there, like if he walked in a few hours later, I might be asking for ID, even though he's not that young. But
George doesn't ask for ID.
Oh, I do.
he does.
Or the real boss does. Yeah, it's great. It's great to see Younglands coming on, and he was unlucky there from his own point of view. I think he missed with the under-20s with Mead, but obviously, as you said, he knuckled down and he's back, and he's back playing well. And Summerhill, I haven't seen him now, in fairness, but Summerhill are obviously playing very well. I should have a huge fair play to them to keep turning out, you know, for a country area, to keep turning out quality players. And they've a great panel as well. Like, they're able to bring in lads that are just as good as lads that are on it. So.
Interesting to hear Adam talking about the county, and that, like, that's something that we've heard as well from the younger players, that everybody seems to have that target or that at the back of their head, that, you know, Colm has been very good to young players in the last 12 months since coming in as Mead manager, and that everybody seems to be sort of aiming towards that call up.
Yeah, well, that's the way it should be, and obviously it's so far it's really opened up, and if you're good enough you'll get the call. You know, so it's great to see young lads like that. I think there's good structures in place there as well around the range. Like, there's, you know, we've been relatively successful at underage level in the last number of years. Obviously, we have to bring as many lads as we can through. You're always, no matter who you have there, you need more, and you need freshness, and you need new, good, young, new players, and we need to close that gap in Dublin.
Would you have Summerhill as your picks for the championship at this stage, or would you be going elsewhere?
Probably be unfair of me to comment because I haven't seen them.
Yeah.
But obviously, from the start, everybody's talking about Rathaut and Summerhill. I've seen tones now, and even listened to their interviews, I think there's a bit about them. I think they could be live dark horses anyway, the tones.
Summerhill and tones finally, so.
Could be, yeah. Brian McMahon won't thank me now for saying that. if he wins another one, he won't come down again.
Just on the point, actually, like the Rathaut thing, and obviously you've had your battles with them now through the years, would it be something that you'd welcome, obviously having a final against Rathaut and trying to avenge last year, or like would it really matter just on a personal note, really?
I suppose if we get over Ashburn,
yeah,
I'd love a rattle at Rathaut, but Tones are obviously playing very good football this year and at the minute especially, so it's hard to know how that game will go. But if you gave me a lifeline on who I'd rather play, I would. If we got there, I'd love Rattler or Rathaut, right, yeah.
That's the kind of talk you'd like to hear, isn't it, George, from a player? You know, not worried about taking on the big dogs.
Fighting talk and confident talk, but not overconfident. Yeah, it's great to see that. Yeah, and that's the confidence of youth again, I suppose.
Absolutely.
Fair play to him.
Adam, well done, and we wish you well for the remainder.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, Davey, time to move on. And I suppose while the Club Football Championship and Hurling Championship in Mead and the Camogie Championship are all at full tilt at the moment, of course, the LGFA are as well. Now, we didn't get any results in from any of the Camogie games. I think the Camogues are out at the moment as well, and Club Championship as well, Davey, if I'm not mistaken.
They are. They're playing every second week, yeah.
Yeah, we haven't got anything from them at the moment, but we do have the LGFA results. It was the last group games, I think, in most of these, and to determine which teams were going to be going through to the knockout stages in first and second, and who was going to be going into relegation. Well, let's start in Senior Championship, Davey, in Group 1, and the results from that.
Yeah, first up was the two big hitters, Dunshaughlin and Royal Gaels and St. Peter's Dunboyne. It finished Dunshaughlin, Royal Gaels 1-13, St. Peter's Dunboyne 2-10, a draw. This top-of-the-table clash didn't disappoint, with the home side sealing the point they needed to claim the automatic semi-final spots. So that's Dunshaughlin and Royal Gaels. The sides traded scores all throughout, and both will be full of confidence going into the final stages. Screen against Simonstown next up. Screen won this game 2-14 to 3-6 to Simonstown Gaels, so a five-point win in that one for Screen. In their first year as a senior side, Screen will be delighted to have retained their status, and their performances so far will have put other teams on notice. It has been a lean few years for Simonstown, but their young side have yet more talent than they have shown so far this year. Next up, Dunham-Ashburn, two goals and 8 points. Cecilstown, three goals and 13 points. And a huge second half performance saw the ladies from the town maintain their 100% record in this year's championship. Dunamore Ashburn will be disappointed to have let another halftime lead slip away as they prepare for a relegation playoff in 2 weeks' time. And the final game in the senior championship, Mickey, was between Oldcastle and Navan O'Matney's. It finished Oldcastle 13 points, Navan O'Matney's 4 goals and 11 points. Another game and another goal fest for the Navan side. Oldcastle took their scores well in the first half, but O'Matney's ruthlessness in front of goals kept them in the game. The second half saw Navan really take the reins and Oldcastle struggled to get out of their own half. Both teams know their attention and they will focus solely on the quarterfinals coming up in a couple of weeks' time. So that's the lay of the land from the senior championship, Mickey.
It is indeed. And looking at Group A, as you've already pointed out, Dunshaughlin and Royal Gaels and St. Peter's Dunboyne both finished on 7 points, unbeaten in their group. But the difference, the score difference coming into play meant Dunshaughlin go through as table toppers. Screen finished third on 3 points. Simonstown finished bottom of the table on 0 points. Disappointing year for Simonstown. Late rally from Simonstown in that game wasn't enough to see them get close enough to Screen in the end. And in the other one, as you said, you gave us the results from that. Centrestown with maximum points, 9 points from three games. Navan O'Matney's with 6 points from two games. Oldcastle safe in third on 3 points. And it's Dunmore Ashburn who go into the relegation with Simonstown. So time to move on now to the Keepack Intermediate Championship results as well. These played on Saturday. And we're going to go to Group 1 first. Summerhill won 12, Rathote 2-7, St Dultans won 10, and Nafina won 14. And the lay of the land for that one meant that Nafina topped the group with 7 points. Summerhill were in second with 4 points. Rathote are safe with 3 points. And St Dultans, by virtue of score difference, are also on 3 points, but are in the relegation from the intermediate. Moving on to Group 2. From the Keepack Intermediate Championship. The game is played on Saturday. St. Colum Kills won 6. D Rangers, 4 goals and 8. Boards Mill, 12 points. St. Michael's, 6 goals and 11. What that meant was that D Rangers and St. Michael's both ended up on 7 points, but D Rangers had a better score and difference. St. Colum Kills ended up in third place on 3 points, and Boards Mill end up in the relegation. So moving on then to the Junior A. Keepack Junior A Championship and Group 1. Munalvi 4-18, Dunsany 2 goals and a point. Clonagale 6-15 and Moyla 3 goals and 5 points. And what that meant was that Clonagale finished with 3 wins from 3. Munalvi had 2 wins from their 3 games and had 6 points. Both of them progressed to the next round. Moyla on 3 points are safe and Dunsany go into the relegation. So looking at Group 2 of the Junior A Championship. And just trying to see, we've only one result there. I have the other result actually written down here. The other result was played on Sunday. This one was played, I think this one was played on Saturday. It was St. Peter's Dunboyne's B team playing Dunshaughlin Royal Gaels B team. And it was St. Peter's Dunboyne, 2 goals and 12. That's 18 points to Dunshaughlin Royal Gaels B team, 5 goals and 6. That's 21 points today. Dunshaughlin Royal Gaels winning that one. The other result was Waterstown 3-5, St. Pat's 3-13. That was a top of the table clash. So it was Waterstown and St. Pat's. That means that St. Pat's topped the table with 9 points. Waterstown are on 6. Dunshaughlin Royal Gaels are on 3. And St. Peter's Dunboyne are on 0. So Waterstown or St. Pat's top the table. They go through to the quarterfinals. So do Waterstown. Dunshaughlin Royal Gaels are safe and St. Peter's Dunboyne will be in the relegation. From the other results, Davey, we have a whole host of results. We don't have the tables though. The Junior B Championship, Clonard 0-0, Gaelcolum Kill 3-11, a massive victory for Gaelcolum Kill there. The Junior B, Davey, Group 2.
Yeah, first up, Trim were 2-point winners over Kilbride. They finished Trim 2 goals and 8, Kilbride 2 goals and 6. And in the other game played, Blackhall Gaels had a massive win away to Wolf Tones. They finished Wolf Tones a goal and 6, Blackhall Gaels 4 goals and 14 points.
In the Junior C Group 1, it was Central Stones B team that got the victory over Boards Mills B team. It was 111-119 in favour of Central Stones B. And then in Simonstown, Dromara Emmets travelled over to Simonstown and got a massive victory here away in Simonstown. It was 9 goals and 10 points to Dromara, 1 goal and 7 to Simonstown's B team. So disappointing result there for Simonstown's B in the Junior C Group 1. Looking at Group 2, Nafina 216, St. Colum Kills B team 8 points. So 216-8 in favour of Nafina on home soil. And then St. Mary's got the victory on home soil as well against Trim's B team, 311 to Trim's B team's 6 points.
Moving on to the Junior D Championship Group 1 first, and one game was conceded, unfortunately, by Ratote against Bective. So Bective get the points with the walkover win. And in the other game played, it was a win for Dunham Ashburn's second team. They defeated Dunry by 4 goals and 5 points to 1 goal and 9 points.
And in the Junior G Championship, we don't have any results from Group 1, but from... Oh, sorry, we did. We just did them. We've only one result from Group 2, and it was Beliver 3-9, Ratkenny, 7 goals and 11 points. A massive victory there for Ratkenny in that one. And then finally, in the Junior E Championship, we only have Group 2 results here. Castletown, 2-8. St Dalton's B team, 1-10. A one-point victory for Castletown there. And the final one was between Clonagale and Oldcastle's B team, and it was conceded by Oldcastle's B team. So that is all of the results that we have, Davey, for the Mead LGFA Championships.
Chin it. That's it, Minky.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046-955-1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Okay, Davey, time to do our regular lotto segment.
Absolutely, and the first one up is from my own Corton GFC, and we had a 16,000 euro jackpot on Friday night, which was not won. The numbers were 2, 8, 19 and 22. The 520 euro winners were Hilda Byrne, Anne Brady, Robert Kavanagh, Paul Blake and Grainne Carlin. The 250 euro voucher for Super Value went to Sophie and Rian Rogers. And we're back with 16,100 euro next Friday night. You can play it at cortonga.com/lotto. Next in is Navan O'Mahony's, and their results from last week, they had no jackpot winner. Their numbers were 7, 11, 20 and 26. A whole host of match three winners, incredible amount of match three winners, actually. Starting with Anzalika Dowdle, Brendan Cummins, John Rowe, Anka, Martina McHugh, Paul McDade, Stephen O'Toole, Liam Malloy, Kieran Vaughan, Sarah Shaffrey, and Matt Moran. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 match three winners. How was it not won?
Apparently, they all owe €5 each after the match. Nobody won. They lost.
Oh, shocking week to be a match three winner in the Navan O'Mahony's lotto. You got absolutely robbed. Anyway, their next draw takes place on the 19th of September, and they've got 12,650 euro on offer. Next in is from the Dunshaughlin and Royal Gales. Their last draw took place last Monday, and it was worth 10,600 euro. Their numbers were 7, 10, 25 and 28. And would you believe it, they had a jackpot winner. And it's massive congratulations to Yvonne Walsh, who is €10,600 richer. That's a lovely jackpot. They also had three match three winners, who were Paula Doyle, Sinead Rooney and Niamh Byrne. They also win €70 each. So it was an expensive weekend for Dunshaughlin and Royal Gaels, forking out the cash. But they'll go again on Monday night, the 18th of September at 8:30, live on Facebook. And they start afresh with €1,000. Hashtag send help, they said.
Yeah, well, see, they didn't, like, Navan O'Matney's went through that for a while, so they didn't. Then they had the idea of, we'll up the amount of numbers that's in it. Apparently, they now, in the Navan O'Matney's lotto, there's more numbers in it than there is in the Euro Millions. So it's extremely difficult to win it. Whereas the Dunshaughlin Royal Gaels, in fairness to them, you know, they've never upped the numbers and whatever, and they make it easier for people to, you know, get that little bit of a lift in the run-up to Christmas. Are we allowed to mention Christmas yet?
No, not till after Halloween. Come on.
Oh, okay.
So you're saying it's easier to win the Euro Millions than the Navan O'Matney's lotto? That's
apparently so. Now look, I want to distance myself from that, but
no, you said it. You said it.
No, apparently I said apparently.
Okay. Drumbara next in, and their results from last week: 3, 6, 10, and 14. Their numbers 3,200, not one. The €30 winners were Kieran Waters, Mandy Ship, BNP Moore, Mary Ann, and Patsy Martin. Kilmainham, their neighbours, their next in from last Monday night, the 11th of September. No winner of their one. 16, 20, 26, and 28, their numbers. Next week's jackpot is worth a tasty €9,000. The lucky dip winners from last week collecting €20 each were Olivia Martin, Gary Gannon, Dazzer, Teresa and Haley, and Kathleen Collins. Thank you for your weekly support. Next one is from Manalvi from Monday night last, 3, 10, 25 and 27. No jackpot winner of that one. Three €20 winners were Joe Murphy, John Riley and Sean McDermott. They go again on Monday night with €4,600. You can play it at manalvigfc.ie or on the Club Force app. And finally, the last one I have, Mickey, is from Waterstown, which is from last Sunday night. Their numbers were 5, 13, 15 and 17. No jackpot winner. Two match three winners who are Catherine O'Sullivan and Adrian Mitchell. And they go again tonight with €8,400.
Okay, Central Sins Lotto last Monday, the 11th of September. The numbers drawn were 2, 14, 18 and 26. There was no jackpot winner. 5 €25 winners were Clodagh Lawler, Michael Noonan, Sean Mahon, Tommy Mulvaney and Aidan Mulholland. It was €5,200. Wasn't won. So this week's jackpot will be €5,300. Moving on then to Kilmainham Wood, GFC's lotto from last Monday, the same date, the 11th of September. The numbers drawn were 6, 10, 16 and 20. There was no jackpot winner. The five lucky dip winners each receiving €20 were Megan Tierney, John Kangley, Fergal McKenna, Mickey Farley and Miriam Sheenan. And this week's lotto will be a massive €3,200. Simonstown's lotto last Friday night, 22nd of September, was not won. The jackpot was 3,850. The lucky dip winners were the Maronis, Derek Griffin, Gavin and Gavin Cunningham. The numbers drawn were 1, 3, 29 and 30. Next Friday, the lotto jackpot will be €3,900 and you can play it online. Jelly also added in, bad night in Galway Friday and with a cup exit. Not a good day. I sent him back. 4-0 is a disgrace, Jelly. And he just sent me back the crying emoji. So, he's not over that one yet. So he's not our Jelly.
No, I was talking to him on Sunday. I think the Cortland win cheered him up a bit, but he was still a little bit down going into the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Davey, time to move on to our Instagram interactive section. And have we had many of our listeners involved this week?
Yeah, we have. We've had a decent batch of them involved. Alan McCormick said Kildare versus St Pat's in the junior hurling final after meeting in the junior two hurling final last year. So incredible, really, to see the two teams progressing up and meeting again in the final a year later. Brilliant.
Yeah, shows the work that's been done and shows the quality that's available to them.
Adam McDonald, our Blackwater Rune Player of the Week, has been in touch and he said Darren McFan making his senior debut for Kiltale. Heard he paid John Donoghue to bring him on.
Ouch, ouch. I wonder what he paid him. Did he give him a one for all voucher or something like that?
Possibly, yeah. Jack McConnell said Kilskier with a savage win over Drumree. Yeah, fantastic victory for Kilskier Moyle.
Yeah, yeah. Look, again, fantastic win for the lads over there in Kilskier Moyle. And of course, they're double jobbing at the minute, a lot of them lads with the football. So, brilliant win.
Lucky to be working. He's in a few times, but his first one said Ratope be free against Blackhall Gales, and indeed they were.
Yeah. Was to be expected, really, wasn't it?
It was. It was. The gulfing class between Group A and Group B, the strong and weak group, is evident and has been for a number of years.
Yeah. There's been a couple of teams that have kind of threatened, but still haven't been able to make that jump up, and I don't know what the answer is there. I do like the idea of the senior championship, the way they run it, but we just want to see, I suppose, to see it being successful, we want to see a team coming from Group B of the senior championship and making a burst up in Group A, you know?
Yeah, it's an interesting one.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
And this is actually an interesting one from Kenneth Darby. He said the junior B groups to be separated like the senior hurling. So basically the strong and weak group is what he suggested.
In the
junior B championship.
Football championship.
Football, yeah.
Yeah, I suppose it's an idea. I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
It could work. It's you know. Something
just caught me on the hop there, so you did with that one.
Yeah, no, I was having a good think about it too myself. And look, there's 10 teams, I think, at the minute in the junior B. The way they're doing in the senior, there's 6 teams in each group, I think, and then the top 4 and 2 basically go through. So
there's 11 in junior B.
Okay, so it would be a 6 and a 5. Possibly, maybe the strong group might have 6. I don't know how it would.
And what if we'll say the likes of Eastern Gales or St. Paul's or both of them are allowed to regrade next year, which we're not sure if that will happen at all. But, you know, if things were right, they should be allowed to. And then you're down to 9.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just an idea, I suppose. It's look.
Yeah, no. I think it's a good idea.
It's Clonard's point of view, and he's probably looking at and thinking they might be one of the stronger teams to come out of Group B and maybe then play a Corton or a Menalty or a Slane or whoever can make a mode in a quarterfinal potentially. I don't know.
I think it's a really good idea, but we'd have to sort out the Junior B, the other issues in the Junior B before you do that. Because if you put in 5 teams into, so you've got 6 in Group A and 5 in Group B, and 2 of them are Eastern Gales and St. Paul's, out of your 4 games, you know, you're only getting 2 maybe challenges. And I don't mean to be derogatory towards those 2 teams, but that's not going to serve you well going into the knockout stages with the tougher teams from junior B. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's an interesting, like, off the top of my head from this year, you would probably have Eastern Gales, Paul's, Drumcondra, Clonard, and maybe St Mary's.
Yeah.
You know, in a group of five, which for the most part would be pretty competitive. And if there was only maybe one team to come out of it, maybe that would probably add to it even more. But yeah.
It is definitely.
Ina Mooney said, 53-year-old Owen Feely, man of the match in his 63rd championship campaign. Owen Feely was man of the match, or presented with the man of the match award from Slane's win over Mary's on Saturday evening.
Yeah, he's some man to keep going, so he is, Owen Feely. Great servant down through the years, in fairness.
For sure. Alan McCormick said, Davey dropped from the squad altogether. I do dread these team sheets coming out. I should just throw myself on as number 30 maybe and...
Yeah,
stop the speculation.
Yeah, look, I suppose at the end of the championship, we might do a podcast on it and the goings on and what happened and how there was the big bust up between yourself and Martin McGovern and, you know, all that, like, and how you got dropped off the team for going away to where was it? Lanzarote in the middle of championship and stuff like that. Yeah, these things, like, you know. You're the Balotelli of Cortland.
Why always me? Lucky to be working, said Davey injured. What is wrong, lad? In the attic, you know?
In the attic, yeah, in the attic.
He also said Dunboyne versus Manalvi next Friday night is Duggan coming home. Yeah. I'd say they're better off without him, to be honest with you, Mickey, but...
Well, that's harsh. Are they going to fly him home or fly him further away?
He's far enough away. I don't think he can do too much damage where he is. Sean Murphy said Max McKenna must start for the under-20s this year.
Well,
Max McKenna is still
from Rakeni. What a talent he is. 4 points in their victory over Waterston. Again, we mentioned the Kiko Sports team of the week earlier on in the podcast, and the lovely theme about it was a mixture of experienced footballers and all these young fellas coming through. Great stuff.
Next in is Ryan Dunn, and he wants to know, is it under-19s or under-20s? I assume he means for the club, and I'm pretty sure it's under-19s now. That was passed at the last county board meeting.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, I may have seen a couple of clubs putting out calls for under-19 manager vacancies, get your CV in, if I'm not mistaken. And I was like going, I didn't realise that had been passed and whatever. So disappointed.
I don't think a lot of people realised it was passed. It was passed earlier in the year, actually, but it's only been sort of realised now that it is under-19, instead of under-20s. So
I think it's disaster.
Yeah, I think county is still under-20s, you know. But yeah, I'd agree with you, Mickey. I don't really see the rationale behind it at all. But anyway, Sean McNulty said Finn White from Kilbride could be a generational talent for me. I haven't really got to see Finn White in action. I know he's going well though for Kilbride this year.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, he was playing the day I saw them against Clonmacnoise, and he looked
probably
really good.
Yeah,
he looked really good in the first half, but like they all did in the first half. But yeah, again, another young footballer who just needs to get his confidence going, I'd say, and he'll be one to be watched and one to be stopped.
Jack Walsh next in, and I love the way we've got Jack away from soccer. It's brilliant. He's obsessed with Cortown now at the minute. He said Cortown are free, Board Mill in the attic.
No, he's even getting on the bandwagon with free and in the attic. And
yeah,
it's true though. Cortown are free and Board Mill are in the attic at the moment.
Sure. Thomas Flood, I think, said Clonmacnoise for junior.
Like what? That's not anything out of the ordinary or anything. So it's not. Do you know what I mean? They'll definitely have a say in it. It's a very tight junior championship. Like, there's no doubt about it. But Clonmacnoise probably would be going in as favourites now, I'd say.
Yeah, with Dunsany gone as well. Yeah, for sure. And finally, to sort of end it on a sad note, unfortunately, Mickey, Joe McQueenie has come in with rest in peace to Damien O'Reilly, of course, the counsellor who sadly passed away over the weekend from Dunboyne, taken way too soon. I think he was only in his early 40s and 40. Passed away suddenly. 40, yeah, only on Friday. Yeah. And he was a big GA man. I know he was regular sort of engager with me GA with the podcast and that as well. And yeah, very sad to learn of that news.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely shocking. A young family and the whole lot, and to die in such tragic circumstances. And, you know, the outpouring from all sides, because as you said, he was a councillor, he was a Fianna Fáil member, but to see the outpouring from every corner of the community just shows you how well God he was, and it's just terrible. And the amount of tragedy that we're seeing over the last number of months is just horrible. And I just send my condolences to his family and to his wife and kids and to everybody who knows him, because it's just been the summer of absolute hell, so it has, and it's continuing on. And very sorry to hear that news. A really, really good guy.
Yeah, really good guy. Yeah, puts everything into perspective as well. And wishes family and friends all the sympathies at this extremely difficult time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, I think we'll leave it on that, and you know, we usually say, remember, we are me that matters more. It really doesn't. It's only a game of football at the end of the day, and yeah, we'll see you next week.